Blog Talk Radio.
What kind of music? Kind of guy. Who kind of take off? Hey. Call me what you want, but I bet you can't call me broke. Nah, bitch, I spit dope. I was born with the antidote. They talk about me like a hoe, with my back against the ropes. Flexing like they really with me, but really hate on the low. I've been known. You were hating on the low. I've been known. They were hating on the low. I've been known. He was hating on the low. I've been known. Hating on the low, I been new, I been soft. Niggas flaw, niggas fake, but it's straight, nothing to say. I'm busy getting that cake. How you my nigga when your true colors show that you fugazi? Paid attention, I seen it coming and witnessed it daily. Cold scratching, they messy, bitches be broke and be petty. Hate on the low and it show, cause they hate the way I get fed it. But I'm so up with my hustle, staying down, got me every penny. 19, have a penny, hurt me so bad, can't forget it. Oh, no, can't forget it. So I wake up and go get it, really from city to city, state to state, that where I'm going. Country to country, they know it's coming, they know I'ma blow. I'm worth a billion, put off some millions, I flip it for show. I took some losses, it cost me chances, I took for this spot. I put it all in the pot, fuck it, just look at me now. I'm worth a whole lot of K, I was broke, now I'm straight. I done grew up with my faith, so stay the fuck out my face. Lord, call me what you want, but I bet you can't call me broke. Nah, bitch, I spit dope. I was born with the antidote. They talk about me like a hoe, with my back against the ropes. Flexing like they really with me, but really hate on the low. I've been known. You were hating on the low. I've been known. They were hating on the low. I've been known. He was hating on the low. I've been known. She was hating on the low.
I say one time for the one time, cause they hate now. Two times for the two times, cause they fake now. Three times for the three times, cause I'm straight now. Now I'ma get money every way and every day now. Put the nigga start hating. Fuck nigga, why you flagging? You can tell I'm straight, you ain't need much, gotta ask me. I done came home, ran it up, now I'm on go. Jealousy and envy, got no boy hating on the low. But I been new, that they were hating on the low. I see through all that fake light window, but I'm D'd up from the feet up. I need pesos. I re-up with that re-up from the same dope. My feet up, got my teeth up, and you still broke. My feet up, got that teeth up, but you still broke. You still broke, fuck nigga. You nigga know what it is, nigga. We getting real money over here, nigga. This Canada gang, nigga, I'm fresh out. What?
Call me what you want, but I bet you can't call me broke. Nah, bitch, I spit dope. I was born with the antidote. They talk about me like a hoe, with my back against the ropes. Flexing like they really with me, but really hate on the low. I've been known. You were hating on the low. I've been known. They were hating on the low. I've been known. He was hating on the low. I've been known. She was hating on the low.
What's happening, world? Welcome back. We at it again with a brand new episode of Real Adult Talk with SG and Mo. Ben, what it do?
Yo, what's up, Black? What's up, people? What's up, world? Welcome to Real Adult Talk with SG and Mo Ben. So you already know this is a Sunday fun day. So as always, throw something up, light something up, pour something up, drink something up. Come kick it with your folk, with your people. This is Real Adult Talk, so pull up a seat and have a listen.
For shizzle. Shout out to our top five countries tuning in around the world.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't get the, is the same from last week?
Look in your thing.
Oh, okay, here we go. Yeah, all right. So let's run it down from the bottom to the top. All right. So number five, of course, we got India on the check-in. So, you know, big shout out, peace and love to everybody out there in India, Bay of Bengal, Yeah, Bombay, you already know. We definitely appreciate it, man. Like, this top list has been staying strong, and they ain't letting no other countries get up in here. So number five is India. Number four, representing Europe, you know what I'm saying, up top, Euro. Big ups to Finland. Like I said, Finland fucks with us, so we fuck with them. So big shout out to Finland, man, holding us down. Tell a friend to listen. Number three, we got the Outback, the continent, better known as Australia, the land down under. So big shout out to everybody out there in the different provinces out there listening to us, man, all across the world. So we do appreciate it. Number two, we got South America on the check-in. You already know is Brazil. Big shout out to Salvador. You know what I'm saying? They just got beautiful black people out there, man, and I love it. So peace and love to everybody out there. And, of course, number one, we have the home team. So that's the USA, United States of America. So, you know, big ups to the home team. So, of course, that's going to be the East Coast going out to the South, to the West Coast, the Great Lakes, and I come to you from New Amsterdam, a.k.a. New York City. So peace and love to everybody out there. We do appreciate it.
So now we are here in Atlanta. I got a surprise for you tonight during your world famous chop up.
Oh, okay. Nice.
You're a hip hop head. And my life partner, hip hop head. So I said, I'm going to let you chop it up with Mo on this hip hop, right? Because he's where I don't know nothing about music, you know? So I'm gonna let y'all chop it up on the hip hop and let y'all, you know, talk about what's new. You know what I'm saying? When y'all get to that section
rap of radio. Rap radio is what I like to call it. You know, just rap music, man. I don't get into hip-hop.
You know, Andre 3000 came out with a new album and, what's going on. He's an avid gamer. So, you know, outside of music and games, you know what I'm saying? I said, I'm going to have you chop it up with Mo during the hip-hop session, you know, tonight and see what y'all. Mo wants people to relate.
rap music. All right, yeah, you know, I'm up for always good comedy, but you already know how that goes.
This week here for me is new beginnings, you know, new adventures, new beginnings. I've been in a space since October, you know, with this new venture and, you know, moving completely different. And just everything in my life has been aligning with that. You know what I'm saying? And I'm loving it.
Nice.
Aligning myself, having patience, you know, through the process. And it's just been a blissful week, me, you know, putting together my schedule. And one of the things that I said, I definitely wanted to stick to was not working on the weekend. And although sometimes, you know, one of my students may call my phone, you know, have a question or something like that during the weekend or text me, you know, I answer it, but I keep it real short. But, like, just my weekends and being family time and, you know, you put in the date nights and you just put in the chill modes where you just can chill and watch TV and just relax, you know, or whatever it is that you're doing. So I'm loving the schedule. And it's putting me in a place that I've grinded so hard for so long that I never really wanted to sit still because I felt like, oh, it could be something that I could be doing. You know what I'm saying? And I never really, you know, 7 days a week if I had to. I never really sat still or gave myself one day grace to kind of relax, and that one day was never enough. And so now that I'm holding myself accountable to Monday through Friday, I have some long days now because some days I just wake up. I don't even know how that day is going to be. I can plan something for that day and then get bombarded with so much more. You know, when you're an entrepreneur, it happens like that, right? So I feel like my weekends are earned. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so I'm just, like, embracing this new beginning and embracing this energy because it took me a long time to get out of my head and just be comfortable with being comfortable, you know, or be okay with relaxing myself and knowing, okay, you go hard during the week, you know, you take a break when you need to take a break. You know, you do what you need to do. And even though there may be things that have to get done, you know, you're like, nope, I'm going to commit to Monday through Friday. You know, I'm committing myself through that Monday, with that Monday through Friday. You know, the energy has been weird because all of the things that's happening out in the universe and more people that are enlightened, you know, their third eyes open, they feel more drained, they feel more, you know, I get a lot of people like, man, I feel so drained lately, or, you know, yada, yada, this, yada, yada, that, and it's just the atmosphere, you know, allergy season, the solar flare that's happening, and, you know, them trying their best to drain out the enlightened people, you know, that like keep people so drained that they can't, you know, that they can't move, they can't work. You know, it's this overall push to get people back on a 9-to-5, you know, to work their life away. You got to think the person was a racist that created the 9-to-5, created the 40-hour work week. This person was a racist, and his job was to keep us enslaved. So if you work 40 hours a week, it's just enough to get you money, but it's more than enough to keep the companies rich, right? It's set to keep you below where you want to be and to keep the companies rich. And you're going to be so drained and tired that you're not going to really want to do anything else. So this is what they're doing now. They're sucking our energy. Like, more and more people are like, oh, my God, I'm so tired, I'm so drained. They're trying to suck our energy to suck us back into, well, if I'm too tired to run, you know, my business and work from home or work my job, then I got to work my job because that's giving the guaranteed money. We have to pay attention to, you know what I'm saying, the overall energies that's out there, and you got to push through those energies. You know what I'm saying? And I know this is like, far out, and people are like, what? But look up who created, look up when the 40-hour work week was created, and then it's going to tell you who created it, which is a racist, some racist bastard. And that was to keep us in alignment, and more people are stepping out of that energy and stepping out like, you know, no, I want to go after my own. You got so many companies that's not doing good because everybody want to start their own company, and we as a people are supporting, you know, these companies. I think, you know, with everything going on, the energy is focused on customer service, and that's the one thing I must say that our black people over here in the U.S. ain't got under control, their customer service, right? So you get the same people that don't want to go work for the white man to go and open up their own business, but then they don't have the customer service that they would have if they worked for the white man, you know, when it comes to ourselves. So that's very important to, like, focus on those things so that we can thrive. And, you know, for my people that have businesses, put more into customer service training. Right now it's hard because almost nobody wants to work a job right now. So, you know, it's like she made a bet, you know, you got to survive. You got to put your best foot forward and get out here and survive the best way you know how. But it's like the reset, man. It's feeling good. It's embracing having my weekends off, you know, for the most part, doing what I want to do on the weekdays. Yeah, doing what I want to do on the weekends, but even still, doing what I want to do on the weekdays. But I, you know, I try to keep it strictly business and just to be able to be home and welcome my kids back in the house. I'm able to see them out the door, I'm able to welcome them back in the house. And how was your day? And not feel exhausted and so on and so forth. So, yeah, mine is new beginnings and really enjoying it. And I'm going to have a lot of new beginnings and new phases and that. So I love it. How was your week?
Yes, so my week was business as usual. But this week I got a couple of different things. I'm calling it uncomfortable conversations and situations to get comfortable. And it's frustrating untangling and entanglement. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, that's where I'm at. But also, at the same time, forward thinking. Remember how smart you are. So, you know, I'm just moving through it. You know, holiday season is upon us. I'm just trying to stay in the holiday spirit, you know what I'm saying? Like, but I, you know, I just want the person that I'm most with to understand that, you know what I'm saying? So You know, so it's just uncomfortable conversations and situations to get comfortable. But you know, I'm cooling. You know what I'm saying? Like the business, as far as Vintage Nubian, there's some changes upon that. So I'm looking forward to making that uncomfortable, but getting it very comfortable in 2024. As far as real estate, you know, I had to have some conversations there too, so I made some tweaks. So I'm looking forward to walking into those changes this coming week. Interior decorating, you know, was pretty strong, so that's good. The social, shout out to just like the social media presence, man, like that's always a thing now. So I like where that's going. You know, shout out to our show. You know what I'm saying? And what we do here, you know what I'm saying? So the podcast is always uplifting, and I like where it's headed. So, and then I just brought out a book. I've read a little bit of this book, but my mother-in-law, I believe, bought this book for me. But it's called Strength for Men, Solutions for Women. It's a book by T.D. Jakes. I know he's like a prominent preacher in the South or whatever. It's called He Motions, Even Strong Men Struggle. So, you know, I've kind of just browsed through it, you know what I'm saying? I haven't really read too much into it, but I just kind of, you know, brought this one out for the show today. So, yeah, that's my week.
For a show, that's what's up. So tonight, and this was a conversation, I asked my life partner, right? I asked my life partner this question, and he was giving me his answer. And I'm going to tell you guys based on the topic. So tonight's topic is, can you commit to someone that you are not sexually compatible with? Can you commit to someone that you're not sexually compatible with? And if I'm not mistaken, we talked about this years back on the show. But it's important to keep this conversation because it makes it. Now, where do I get this conversation from? I see posts all the time saying, man, just give me a girl that got my back, you know. She ain't even got to be a freak in the bedroom. I could teach her. You know what I'm saying? Or yada, yada, right? And
yeah.
I know several women that they want to, relationship or a situation so bad that they settle for a person that's less than in the bedroom because they feel like they can go and just get what it is they truly want, but this person could be a provider or, you know, they can have security or this person is giving them the time that they want, and they will settle for that person being less than in the bedroom, right? I know on both sides, so I'm not calling out men. I'm not just calling out women. But me being me, I hear it more than not, right? Especially being, you know, a coach and so on and so forth. Now, I asked my life partner, I said, can you be with somebody that you're not sexually compatible with? He said, hell no. He said, that will break a situation. And so here's the thing. Sometimes we look at couples that been together so long, we're like, oh, well, that person must have good sex or whatever. What's good to you may not be good to them. You know what I'm saying? And vice versa. You don't know the person's, you know, reasons for being with somebody. It's not necessarily that everybody that's in a relationship has good sex. You know, NeNe Leakes just exposed the guy that she had been with after her husband Greg passed away. And she said, oh, girl, you can have him. He broke. He a cheater. He a narcissist. And the sex is garbage.
She always talks a lot of shit, though. But anyway, but go ahead.
And the sex is garbage, right? So
yeah.
And so, you know, yeah, she's always talking noise. But, again, she was having fun with him. It was something to do. It was keeping up an image. You know, keeping up a persona. So she dealt with it. A lot of people are doing that just to say that they have something, just to say that they got somebody. We never really know, you know what I'm saying, what the significance is of that. You have some people that will deal with a person just because they do have good sex, right? They got good sex. You know, so for a woman, well, we ain't in no relationship, but they got good sex. So, you know, I'm going to stick it out, you know. That's going to be my cut, buddy. So it can go, you know, both ways. At least we not forget that. It can go either. It can go either way. At least we not forget that, right? But for me, you know, when I was talking to my, cousin, and we was talking about something. He was helping me get through something, and he goes, well, what do you see in your partner? And I don't think anybody had ever asked me this question. I don't even think I had even got to the point to ever answer that. And so when he asked me this in the middle of this serious conversation, I was just able to just run these things down. I'm like, he said, give me three things that you love about your partner. And as I'm talking, I'm just blah, blah, blah. I think I had got to 10, not even paying attention that I was at 10 things. You know what I'm saying? And he said, golly, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's genuine love. You know, you already know. I said, I don't even think anybody ever asked me that question for me to answer it so easily. And then I said something along the lines of, you know, the bedroom is very important because if that was not, you know, holding, that was not solid, I don't think, you know, everything will hold together. So when I asked my partner, hey, could you be with somebody that you are not sexually compatible with? He said, no, that'll break a relationship because that's very important, right? And so we felt the same way. I was like, okay. So when I asked this question, can you be with somebody that you are not sexually compatible with? I can't. Because that's so important. You know what I'm saying? It's so important. It's top tier. It's top notch. That's something that, like, as women, especially women that PMS and all these things, sex plays a vital role in your mood and in your hormones. And women don't even break it down to that extent. They don't know why they love it so much. The ones that do, they just know they love it. But that's something very important for a woman. You know what I'm saying? It's important for your hormones. It's important for your mood. It's important for a lot of things for you to continue to be alive. It helps you with illnesses, right? You having good sex, it helps you, you know what I'm saying, lessen illnesses. It helps you with having less cramps, having less, you know, PMS. Less PMS symptoms, all types of things, right? I sit and dissect this shit. So the answer for me is a no. You know, I don't care how much of a provider you are. I don't care how cool you are. If we are not sexually compatible, I can't see past none of that shit. And even though being sexually compatible is not number one, it's in the top five. You know, it's in the top five. I don't know what else to tell you. So I don't know. What would you say?
All right. Once again, tonight's topic is, can you commit to someone whom you're not sexually compatible with? So, you know, hashtag married man. You know what I'm saying? So let me answer this question. Can you commit to someone whom you're not sexually compatible with? Well, that's a no. You know, that's a no. Because, you know, to especially like if you're meeting somebody and you're getting with somebody, you know what I'm saying? For me personally, that's the main energy. You know what I'm saying? That's how, like, nowadays, I remember there was a porn star. Her name was Roxy Reynolds, and she said something that was very interesting to me because I saw it from a female's. I've never seen a female take this perspective before, but she said she would want to have like sex with somebody right off the bat, just to know if she's going to be compatible, because I don't want to waste time and then the shit just is whack or whatever. Like, before I can really get a chance to know somebody, I want to just have sex with them, and then I can just go from there, you know what I'm saying? And I kind of feel that way, you know what I'm saying, because, of course, you know, I'm in a marriage and stuff like that, but, you know, in an alternate universe or, you know, when I was single or whatever, yeah, I don't have just regular friends and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Females, like, you know, I do, as far as if we're doing business together and stuff like that, then yeah, of course, you know what I'm saying? But as far as it's just like we just hanging out and stuff like that, if I'm not having sex with that person, it's like a waste of time for me because I'm a man, you know what I'm saying? So, and I express myself through sex, you know what I'm saying? And I can't just be you know, having somebody tell me about their relationship and what they're going through, and I'm not tagging it. So, yeah, I don't get down like that. So, yeah. So, and then I'm the type of person, too, you know, that I can always adapt and I can, you know, like I said, I've said this on the show numerous times, but I can size a female up. So I already know if the sex is going to be dope. You know what I'm saying? Especially at the point in my life now. You know what I'm saying? Like, I already know how this shit is going to go down. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like a fighter. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you fight all the time, you're just sizing up your next opponent and on how you're going to break that opponent down. So that's how I am sexually with a female. So, like, if I already know.
That's a special gift, Mo. That's a special gift because I can look at a person and you can think, like, that's going to be good. And it'd be straight trash. But you know what I'm saying? So I don't even, you know.
I'm not even in a position to watch
somebody engage them like that and, you know, interact with them because I'm closed off. But that's a superpower, Mo, so know that.
That's a fact. I know. It is. I definitely had that. You know what I'm saying? I possess that. So that's how I know. You know what I'm saying? So I already know it's going to be popping because I know how. Like, I'm always big into ambiance and setting the mood and just, you know, and then certain things that I know that's going to mix together to make it a great situation. So I know, you know what I'm saying, especially if I'm going to commit, I already know that it's going to be, you know, sexually compatible. Now, you can lose that sexual compatibility, you know what I'm saying, because you could have definitely started out, and it could have been mad sexually compatible, and then you lose it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you might not be feeling that person no more. They might not be feeling you no more. You know what I'm saying? And then that's something to deal with, too, especially if you're in a marriage, because that happens. You know what I'm saying? So you got to figure out how to navigate that if that was to come to fruition in your situation, because, you know, you got to figure out how to re-spark it.
Though, I've never had that happen. I've never had it happen in a relationship. Now, I've tolerated some sex that wasn't top tier, and being that I tolerated it, meaning that it wasn't quite garbage, but it wasn't top tier. So it was good while I was with them, and then when we separated, it wasn't good no more. But I've never had it where it's been good, and then it got bad.
No. It's a difference. I can say where it's good, you know what I'm saying? It's good when you do it, but you just cut it off. You just don't even want to do it no more. You know what I'm saying? But it's good when you engage, it's good. You know what I'm saying? But you can get to the point where I'm like, I'm straight. You know what I'm saying?
I ain't never experienced
that. So.
I don't know. That's a new one for me. I've been in a relationship, you know, I've had, you know, long relationships where I knew it was good. So I guess that's what you're saying. I knew it was good, but when I cut them off and I wasn't feeling them no more, I'm like, no, I ain't going to have sex with you. Because that's going to open up a can of worms that ain't going to go nowhere. You know what I'm saying? They're going to spill out everywhere, you know? So I declined based upon that, but never because it wasn't good no more. It was just saying no.
You might decline the sex because you know it could be good, but if you really can't put that passion into it, then it's not going to be good for you. You see what I'm saying? So that's another thing. And I think a lot of women, they do that a lot, but, you know, I've kind of mastered that as well. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I'm just not, if I'm not feeling, if I'm not in that mode, I'm not just, I don't, you know what I'm saying? I don't have to, because I'm a very picky, I'm a very, you know, I'm a lion, man, so I like top-tier shit, you know what I'm saying, no matter what it is. So when it comes to that, you know what I'm saying, I want to make sure that it's like, you know, that I'm expressing that passion the way I want to express it. So if it's not, you know, if things ain't where I want it to be, you know what I'm saying, I don't even want to engage in that activity, you know what I'm saying. It's not worth my energy, you know what I'm saying. So, yeah.
Yeah, so I feel that. Like, I've never been just in a relationship and was just like, I don't want to have sex anymore. No, I don't know. I haven't gotten to that point. It's so important. Now, I can be hormonal, right? I can be hormonal and, like, right in that first week or so after, you know, your monthly cycle, you may slow down and not, you know, want it as much. But closer to that week or two when you coming up on that time of the month, man, you want it every day. You know what I'm saying? Easily every day. So, you know, I can see a imbalance in that, but never not, you know, I don't want it. Because if I'm in a relationship with you, please let me tell you something. When I went through all of the things that I went through, being in domestic, being in DV relationships, the relationships that I was in that were DV, I settled.
Most of DV sexually. You say DV.
Domestic violence. The domestic violence relationship that I had been in, I settled. And most importantly, sexually in those areas, right? Because I was trying to see somebody, you know, outside of that, you know, and I tried this a while ago. And they were intimidated because, you know what, even when we settle, you don't even have to speak and tell a person that you're settling. They know that you're settling. They know you suddenly. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to, you know, tell them. And they always were insecure because they knew that I was settling for them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so therefore that came to an overly jealous situation. So I said, when I walked away from those type of relationships, I said, I'm not settling in the bedroom no more. And I haven't settled in a very long time. Not for me. It's going to be what I want it to be, you know?
Real quick, Black, you know what I'm saying? Because this is real talk, and, you know, what you said I think is very, you know, I think it's very, I know, you know, just for females that's been through that before, you know what I'm saying? Because I think that's a sticky situation. Like, that's, I can't even imagine that, you know what I'm saying? So when you said domestic violence situation, you know what I'm saying? So especially somebody that's through that, to, you know, if you had a situation where it was a domestic violence type of situation that happened, and then to go back and sleep with that person again, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, wow, you know, because you feel like that could possibly happen again. You know what I'm saying? So,
right. They already messed up in the head, and they already know that you're settling. So they already feel. And so, you know, one of those things is like, you know, you have to change up what you're doing. You can change the person all day long, but you also have to take accountability for what you're doing. And that was one of the things I paid attention to after breaking this whole situation down. I don't care what you want to say. Yeah, these people, they possessive and so on and so forth. But one of the things that stood out the most is that I was not sexually compatible to these people. And they knew that I was settling. They knew, you know what I'm saying, that they weren't meeting the mark. And therefore, that made them, you know, jealous and so on and so forth. When you get, you pull a chick like me, and then you already feeling the way because you know, there could be somebody out there that could do the job better than you. And I very well may know them. So I said, you know what, I'm not gonna put myself in a position like that ever again to where somebody feels inadequate in the bedroom, right? I don't care, you know, how you coming in the bedroom. I'm going to stay in the paint in the bedroom no matter what. So why? And then you're going through these situations with people and you're like, no, I'm not settling for this. First of all, I'm not happy in the bedroom. And then you insecure as hell. So how about we just nip that in the bud? And that's when, and everybody's situation is different, you know. Everybody has a different cause of why they're in a domestic violence relationship. But it all boils down to being with somebody insecure, right? It always boils down to being with somebody insecure, somebody that has anger issues or some type of addictions or something like that. Mine was dealing with insecure people. So, therefore, let's not deal and let's communicate more. But the one thing that I noticed that the ones that was like that, we weren't sexually compatible to. So I didn't short myself anymore. It's been a long time since I allowed myself to be shorted in the bedroom. We don't let that happen no more. If we ain't compatible, you know, it ain't even going to work because I've already spoken it to the universe. It was nothing that was ever going to work. If we weren't sexually compatible, I can assure you that relationship wasn't going anywhere because I had already manifested what I manifested. Right? What's good to me may not be good for the next woman. But I'm saying what's good for me. I manifested that, and I made sure that I didn't put myself in those situations ever again.
Yeah, that's interesting, too, like this whole sexual compatible part. And it seems like, man, you know, and a lot of women, I guess, maybe do that, you know, especially if they're looking for, like, a sugar daddy situation where they just want to get, you know, the person got, like, a good, you know, splurge and, you know, spending money and stuff like that, but they ain't attracted to them at all, you know what I'm saying? And they might break the person off a little someday so often, but it's just, like, cringy, you know what I'm saying? But they just
don't.
You know what I mean? Like, who want to have cringe sex? You know what I'm saying? That ain't good. Like, that ain't good at all. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's wild.
I know, yeah. And those are the type of people that I would have dealt with back in the day when I just wanted something. You know, when I was in that energy of, you know, no, you can't, you're not even my type, you know, just run it,
yeah.
You know? And you just be like, oh, God, I got to go through this shit. You know, like, you know, but then it's like, no, we ain't doing none of that, baby. That's just not even going to happen, man. So my life partner and I have known each other since 2010, 2011. Somewhere in there, 2010 or 2011. You know what? And that's really cool because we didn't meet to date. We met as friends. I want to say 2010. We met in 2010 as friends, right? And we was, you know, straight friends. You know, nothing more, nothing less. In that time, from 2010 to 2020, we may have tried to mess around two or three times. It just wasn't really, you know, you know what I'm saying? Because it's not because it wasn't good. It was because that wasn't our time. That wasn't for us. You know what I'm saying? And when we did start dealing with each other in 2020, it was the best. You know, it was like, oh, man, this, you know. It was something that opened up for us, and it ended up being, you know, what you needed it to be. So timing, it's a lot of things that can come into play, you know, with the compatibility. It doesn't have to be size and motion and so on and so forth. If there's blockages that's preventing the situation from going forward, you just may not be attracted to this person right now because you could be still, you know, attached to somebody else. It may not be time for y'all. It may not just be for y'all altogether. You have to look at the overall situation on a spiritual sense as well. Like, is this something that you're supposed to be doing? So, you know, when that time came and then that became, okay, this is all that I, you know, want, need, and desire, that was like, okay, you know, let's make it last level. You know, again, I've been with somebody that it was good while we were together, as you know, as you were stating, but when we separated and it was no more, I didn't even want to go back there, you know, like, no. And then when they would press the issue, I think one time I was like, I gave in. And when I gave in, I was like, I could have had a V8. And it wasn't because, you know, they lost anything on themselves. It was just because I had closed that door, you know what I'm saying, to that energy.
Interesting.
I can't tell you that I'm going to look at a man and be like, ooh, he got it. Ooh, he could do this. Ooh, he could do that. Baby, let me tell you something. In my life, I've seen some fine brothers, buff, looking good, all of that shit. And then they get there and they pissing on their balls. Baby, it ain't there. I've seen some big old baby arms. And then you get down, and guess what? It ain't there. Ain't no motion in the ocean. Like, it's men is different, you know, because you can have expectations and be disappointed. So I don't really look for that. It's just something that I pray for. You know, when I was out there, it was something I prayed for. God, please don't. You already know God. Please don't send me nobody that I am not sexually compatible with, because it's not gonna work. That was something I put in my prayer. Right, and it ain't came. You know, that's a SG prayer. You know, forget the Sierra prayer. That's something that I put in my prayer, honey, for me to, you know, to have somebody that I was compatible with. Because I can't, I won't even take you serious if we're not compatible. I'm just not even gonna play with you.
Yeah, as you should. I mean, yeah, if you're not compatible with a person, I mean, that's chemistry. Chemistry is big, you know. You gotta have chemistry to make it compatible. because if it's not compatible, that means the chemistry is not there. So, yeah, that's not good.
Babe, can you deal with somebody because you love them, but you're not sexually compatible with them?
You asking me?
I was asking him. He looked at me and walked off.
I was like, what? Okay.
Ain't that a bitch? I mean, he already answered the question. I wanted him to say why. He just looked at me and turned his head like, if you don't hit the fuck.
Well,
so he's saying in the very beginning, if y'all not sexually compatible, then why stay? Why make it happen? But if you are in a relationship and y'all been together for some time and then it just gets trash or the sex just stops, he's not going to leave.
That's a difference. Okay? Because, I mean, that's something maybe that you can work through. You know what I'm saying? Especially if y'all, you know, you did have it before and it just, you know, you might just have some type of blockage that need to be cleared up, you know what I'm saying, in your relationship or in your situation for it to flow again, you know, so.
Right.
You know, that's, yeah, so that, I mean, yeah, I definitely agree with him. I think he made a valid point with that. But, yeah, to the first point, like, you, I can't even fathom, but I guess it does happen, but I don't know how you even, you know, get into a commitment with somebody, you know what I'm saying, who you're not sexually compatible with, you know what I'm saying, especially as an adult.
Man, listen, because sexually compatible is different to women and men.
Okay, so talking, what's the difference?
Mind you,
it's
different.
Well, tell me the difference, you know.
Because, listen, okay. A woman could have good stuff to a man, right? But to that woman, she ain't reaching her peak of wetness the entire time because maybe she not into it like him. But he would still consider that to be good sex. You feel me? To her, she would be like, oh, it's all right. Because for a woman, good sex means you're going to keep this thing super wet the entire time. You finna hit them corners. You're going to learn them corners. You're going to learn them curves. Like, you know what I'm saying? Good to a woman is completely different. I think for a man, it's like, oh, as long as it's wet and as long as they can feel something, then it's good. You know? I don't know. I'm not a man.
That's not that. Because it's got to be a rhythm for me. You know, once again, I only can speak for myself. But for me, it's got to be a rhythm. It's got to be like, it's got to be a chemistry. It's hard for me to explain. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, you definitely, I got to have that chemistry. It's got to be like motion with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I can't just, well, but like I said, I'm, you know, at the point that I know that, like I said, I'm sizing you up already, so I'm already kind of figuring out how we're going to be. But, you know, but I can understand a woman's curves and her just the way, you know what I'm saying? Because certain women, you know, it's different positions that's going to work with this woman that, you know, might not be with that woman in different situations. That's going to make it better with this woman as opposed to another woman. So, like I said, it's all chemistry. It's all about how it, all about how it goes together and everything. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, you know what I'm saying. So I can see where it is. And then, like I said, sometimes maybe if it wasn't, like you just said, for the woman, if it wasn't, you know what I'm saying, then maybe it's going to be a one-time thing, and that's it, you know what I'm saying? But generally, you know, if it's good, you know what I'm saying, it's gonna double back. But certain situations and certain things are just meant for that one time, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, you can choose to continue if it warrants that, but, you know, sometimes it was just a one-night thing, you know what I'm saying? But for me, I only can speak for myself. Generally, when I've had a situation like that, it has been good for me, but I think it was good for the other person as well. But, you know, from how it went down, I can't see how it wasn't good. You know what I'm saying? Like, because, you know, it wasn't no ill will or no ill feelings or nothing like that. So, you know, yeah, but I just think that's very, you know, I think that's just very interesting. For me, like I said, it's always energy, you know what I'm saying, that I just feel. And a lot of times, too, when I've been in those situations, you know what I'm saying, like, I'm not always the aggressor, you know what I'm saying? I'll wait until I just get that sign where it's a go, you know what I'm saying? So that's another thing that you got to, you know, as a male, you got to pick up on certain signs where it's just like, okay, it's go time. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you can catch that frequency. So, you know, once again, that's just from my experiences. But hashtag Mary Mary.
Yeah, okay, I get that. That's what's up.
Yeah.
Gotta do what you gotta do. So, yeah, in a nutshell, my answer is hell no, we won't go. You know, I say all the time, I don't expect to start over. I don't want to start over. You know, I pray that I'm in the relationship that I'm going to be in until I grow old, you know. That's what I pray. That's my prayer. You know, I don't plan on going after a new relationship. Don't even want another relationship. You know, I can see myself with my person for the rest of my life. So hopefully I ain't got to go there. But, if ever that was the case, nah, I can't go. I can't do it, boss.
Well, that's what's up. So that's your closing thoughts?
That's my closing thoughts.
All right. So once again, big shout out to Black for tonight's topic. That was, once again, can you commit to someone whom you're not sexually compatible with? Me and Black definitely agree. We both say no. So, all right. So this sets up my favorite part of the show. So this is the world famous chop up. So anybody that's new to the show, this is the part of the show where I get a chance to just talk my ish, things that I just thought was interesting throughout the week, and bring it to the world famous chop up and speak on it. So as always, Black, this past week, was there anything that you was tripping on? She was like, you know what?
Oh, man.
Chop up.
Hell yeah.
It. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. Let's go.
Mm-hmm. The Diddy. Okay.
Oh, Puff? You talking about Puff?
Casey and Diddy. Huh?
Cassie and Puff. Okay. A.K.A. the Teflon Don, but go ahead.
Cassie and Diddy, man. So, we all know Diddy has been known to have anger issues. They've tied Diddy to so many things, or tried to anyway, and
that's
was very unsuccessful at ever pinning him to anything, you know, sizing him, pinning him to anything, right?
Exactly.
So years ago, his baby mother, Kim, she passed away. They came out and said, oh, she passed away due to pneumonia. But this was around the same time that she came forth. She was trying to put out a book about their relationship. And she ended up dead. All right? So Cassie, we know he was with Cassie for a long time, you know, within this time. And so Cassie filed a civil suit because she wanted the money. So, you know, it's different between civil and legal. She wasn't going after the legal aspect of it because she really didn't give a fuck. But she was, per his attorney, she had been trying to get $30 million out of Diddy. Now, again, you play it how you want to play it. She stayed in that situation regardless of what Diddy did her. She said Diddy beat her. Diddy made her sleep with male prostitutes while he watched. Diddy did all of these things, but she stayed with him. You understand what I'm saying? You can make any excuse in the world. You're a victim or you're a survivor. She knew what she was doing, and this is why I hate women like this. You knew what she was doing. You stayed in it. You know, she was talented, so she was wanting Diddy to put her on.
She really wasn't talented.
Diddy never put her on. He never put her on. Not how she wanted to be put on.
He never popped off.
So then you finally decided, oh, I'm going to leave him. You know, it's over. And then you start dating this white guy. Then you have a child with this white guy. And then it's, you know, love wins and, you know, da-da-da and all this old stupid-ass shit, ooh, right? But when you go to have these children and you realize that, wait, love ain't paying the bills. I ain't getting the money. I ain't getting none of this. So then Diddy start dealing with Carisha, Young Miami. You see Young Miami life changing and fold in front of you. The whole Biden got done. She got a TV show that's number one. She's winning awards for her TV show. She's doing all of these things. So Cassie is now jealous because I've been with you for 10 years and you ain't even been with her for 10 years. And you giving her all of these things and putting her in the life and giving her the life that I wanted from you. And all you did was beat me, right? Mm. So now she comes out with this civil suit. And she puts all of these things in this civil suit because she wanted to kill two birds in one stone. She wanted everybody to know who he was for real, but she really wanted her money. Now, there was an undisclosed settlement that was made on the back end. Who's to say? It may have been the $30 million. It may have been less than $30 million. It may have been whatever. But by the time he decided to pay her, the damage was already done, right? Everybody was talking about it. One full day, you had all of this circulating on the internet behind Diddy. Oh, Diddy's a monster. Diddy's this. They've tried to assassinate his character so many times before. They always felt like, oh, okay, you know, he would change, he would grow, he would this, he would that. Okay, whether he did it or he didn't, whether he's that person or he's not, for people to really, really, I can't take your side. I can't feel sorry for you. If you're not really trying to get change, you're just trying to get money. The whole time it's a money grab for Cassie, in which she didn't get, right? Now I'm waiting to see what's going to happen to Cassie. That's all I'm saying. I'm waiting to see how you're going to live this life with these 30. So here's the thing, and we talk about this often. Listen, when someone does you wrong, if you're leading with a pure heart, like, oh, you know, they did me wrong.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. What you were saying?
If somebody does you wrong, damn, somebody just threw my whole fucking concentration off. Stupid. Somebody does you wrong, and you decide, hey, I'm going to do right by this person, or hey, I'm going to turn the other cheek, or whatever the case may be. You know, you do that and you allow, you know, God to handle those situations. But when somebody do you wrong and in your mind you want to be vindictive to that person, right, at that point you allow karma to come into your life as well. I don't care what they did to you. When we talk about moving with a pure heart, you genuinely have to have a pure heart, period. So when you stoop to their level, guess what? You go in the same place they going. I don't care what it is. So what she did was stoop to his level. You felt as though you were going to take it into your hands, tarnish his image, and get $30 million out of you. That's not going to really unfold how she wants it to unfold. You heard it here first. I'm telling you it's not. And I don't want to hear, oh, my God, it's so sad. Something is going to rock her fucking world. And it's not going to be Diddy. It's going to be based upon the karma that she has caused upon herself on how she handled this situation. I'm waiting to see.
Yeah, I mean,
that's like the women from Bill Cosby that willingly went because you knew he was going to drug you for you can get on, and then the shit don't really work in your favor, and then you want to complain about it. I'm sick of these bitches. I'm so sick of these women, though. Like, I don't feel sorry. I'm over it. They can kick rocks. I don't know. That was the topic that I had for tonight.
I mean, it definitely sounds like a money grab. So look, that's I'm gonna transition. So that was it. All right. So I'll take it from here then. So basically, of course I'm going to preview what is going to be discussed on Tuesday's edition of the World Famous Chop Up. So a big shout out to my co-host Cam Hurt. These are the three topics I'm working on for this week. So, of course, you know, here at Real Adult Talk with SGMO Benz. I always come here first with it, and then, you know, we, like, reanalyze it on Tuesday. So, as Black just alluded to, my first topic, and I'm calling it, basically, will Puff continue to be Teflon Don? And, of course, too, let me just say this. You know, if you want to be plugged into Tuesday's edition of the World Famous Chop Up, follow at Mo Benz, M-O-B-I-N-N-S, or follow at Rap Sports Life, and you will be plugged in. I go live on X or Twitter Spaces, 8 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. every Tuesday with Kev Herc, and we analyze these topics. So once again, the first one, and this is good, me and Black just gave her opinion on this, but so like I said, the first topic of this week's Tuesday edition of the World Famous Chopper will Puff continue to be Teflon Don? And I was all prepared. You know, I was talking to my wife because, you know, I guess one of her friends, because, you know, Puff is a hot button topic, you know what I'm saying? So when this came out, everybody had an opinion, especially a lot of women, and they screenshotting different things that they seen on the internet and whatever. And I'm actually going to probably try to read it before I do the show on Tuesday. But then again, I'm like, why even read it? Because I thought this was going to be a drawn out situation. So I was already thinking like, oh, shit, Puff might be. You know what I'm saying? They might have finally pinned something to him. You know what I'm saying? Cassie, she come out with all this, I'm like, rape allegations. That just, I mean, look, I just, you know, I don't want to make light of that, but that, he don't come off as the type of person that needs to do that. You know what I'm saying? That's just me. You know what I'm saying? But, hey, only them two knows or whatever. Now, with the prostitutes and all of that, you know, he could be acting bad. You know what I'm saying? Bad boy for life. Maybe that's one of his fetishes. I don't know. But anyway, so I was just thinking, like, I already knew the Puff was going to be lawyered up. So I was just waiting to see. You know what I'm saying? Because it's three people that come to mind that, you know, if they have situations, they get the top-notch lawyers that I can think of. First, we got to go old school. We got to say OJ. You know what I'm saying? Big shout-out to OJ. Doing big things. I like how he's doing football commentating with Camden Mace on it. It is what it is. Great to see a resurgence, you know what I'm saying? Because he, whatever you want to say about his situation that happened in the 90s, you know, he beat the case and then he, you know, got into another situation, did his time, you know what I'm saying? It's time to let bygones be bygones. And, you know, if the NFL want to shun OJ and not talk about him, I'm glad. You know, Cam was able to, you know, let OJ come on this platform because he's got a lot of knowledge as far as football, as far as life. So I'm just happy to see that. So anyway, of course, we already know, you know, OJ had Johnny Cochran. He had Kim Kardashian's pops and some other ones. You know what I'm saying? Just A-plus lawyer team. And that's why, you know, he's not serving a double life sentence for a double murder. You know what I'm saying? Because he was able to prove his innocence, you know what I'm saying? Like, people might not agree, but it is what it is, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, he got off. The jury did not convict him of murder. So that's one. Number two, Trump. We all see this damn Democratic situation, you know what I'm saying? I never became a Republican until recently, and I'm still neither one, but I am leaning towards a Republican mind state as opposed to a Democratic mind state. The wiser I've gotten, the more knowledge I've had, you know, because as a people, we as Black people just taught, oh, just be Democrat, because they always going to look out for the person that's like, you know, this that needs help or whatever. But then I got to thinking, like, why am I always, like, looking at myself like I need help? You know what I'm saying? Why can't I just be the person that's shot calling and you know, getting my just – why can't I just – I have knowledge, you know what I'm saying? I went to school. Like, I consider myself a smart guy. With the tools that I've learned, why can't I just, you know, make moves with that and not have to look for handouts and just boss up, you know what I'm saying, to the point that maybe I can help somebody, you know what I'm saying, and things of that nature. So, you know, and until Trump really – you know, championed that party, he's the only Republican that I can truly say that I truly fucks with, you know what I'm saying, because he's different from, like, your normal clear-cut Republicans that I've seen in the past. Like, he's a trailblazer, you know what I'm saying, and a maverick when it comes to that. You know what I'm saying? But he's about his money. He's about his lawyers, and he's about, you know, his ambitions, and I respect that. So, you know, when it comes to lawyers, Trump is another one. He's going to have A-plus lawyers, and that's why I think he will be the president of the United States once again in 2024. But we shall see. Only time will tell. And then finally, Puff, of course. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, I couldn't wait to see what this was going to happen. I didn't think it was going to happen so quickly, but we all know, a lot of people may not agree, but Puff, and I was having an offline conversation with, like I said, my co-host, Kev Perk. We was going back and forth. And before me and him started doing this show, you know, we would have different discussions or whatever, because he's a colleague of mine in a different situation. But, you know, we, you know, of course, started our Tuesday podcast. And so we had different discussions, right, you know, years ago when we first started, like, you know, just kind of, you know, I guess mind jabbling or whatever. So one of the first things we were talking about is how Suge Knight and Puff are the same person. You know what I'm saying? They're the same. They're gangsters. You know what I'm saying? Like, clear cut. You know what I'm saying? Suge, we all know he's gangster because he puts it right in your face. That's why he's, you know, serving a, what, 20-year sentence right now, whatever, at least 17, 20 years, whatever he's got. And you know his pedigree, everything, you know, Death Row Records, you know, everybody knows his stories. Puff is the same way. And we agreed on that. You know what I'm saying? But Puff just does it with a smile on his face, and he's dancing. And we both agreed that's the one that you can't even really, you never know. You know what I'm saying? At least with Suge Knight, you know, fuck, this dude, you got to be ready because it could be a problem. You know what I'm saying? If you come in his realm, you know what I'm saying, and you need to be prepared because some shit could go down. You know what I'm saying? Puff, you never know. You might be in his circle and just, you just get caught up and you didn't even know you caught up. You know what I'm saying? And that's what's interesting and intriguing about Puff. And I'm going to be honest, you know what I'm saying? You know, back in the day, I finally got over the death of Biggie Smalls. See, when I was younger, when I was like a teenager, Biggie Smalls was my favorite rapper ever. And he's still top five. And I was always like, yeah, man, it's Biggie, man. Biggie's the dude, man. That's the guy. And, you know, for that time, he was, you know what I'm saying? But I was just talking about this too, you know, his different mantras that he kind of really became attached to him was the death of him. You know what I'm saying? Name your album Ready to Die. Coming with a song called Who Shot You, like dropping it 2 weeks after, you know, the situation with Tupac. Bad Energy. Ready to Die, name your album. Even though it was dope, one of my favorite albums of all time, Bad Energy. You know what I'm saying? And More Money, More Problems. So, you know, one of his hit songs with with Mason and Puff on it. You know what I'm saying? But it was Biggie's song, More Money, More Problems. So you're basically putting out into the universe, the more money I get, the more problems I'm going to have. You know, I'm Mo Ben. Some people come up to me, oh, more money, more. No, man, ain't more money, more problems, more money, no problems. So switch that mantra. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to, come at me that way. So I say all that to say this. Now, especially with Puff, and I think Puff knew this was coming down, and Puff was like, damn, you know what I'm saying? When the energy was needed, you know, he had that bad boy image, you know what I'm saying? Like, shit, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to come into this space. Suge Knight don't like that I'm blowing up with this whole bad boy shit. You know, they had it on lock. You know what I'm saying? Of course, Death Row Records, you know, Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, running shit. You know what I'm saying? Dog Pound, you know what I mean? That's the shit. Still to this day, that's like the realest shit ever that came out in music, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? That you know, aside from N.W.A. who set the tone, but, you know, then they just modernized it a little bit more. You know, that Death Row shit, that classic, the Chronic Doggy Style, Dog Food, them is all classic shit. Above the Rim soundtrack, them shit to this day, just, man, if you just want to know how to just, you know, like a street just knowledge, that's there. So that was Suge Knight and Death Row Records. And then when Puff and Bad Boy started coming up and Biggie, comes on, well, first Flav in Your Ear, you know what I'm saying, Craig Mack, and then Biggie comes on the scene, and it's just this fly shit, and then he coming on with, like, you know, Lil' Kim and, you know, bringing a whole sexual shit to it, and, you know what I'm saying, when most females was trying to be, like, dudes and shit like that, even though, you know, Death Row, he was talking some gangster shit about females and all this other stuff, the females that was rapping with him was all dudish, and then here come Biggie with some shit. So anyway, Suge don't like it. Puff is coming to a space. So Puff is like, damn, I gotta get on my gangster shit. You know what I'm saying? I guess this dude don't think I'm soft. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and that's the whole thing with Puff. You know, Puff has always been a God first type of person. You know what I'm saying? But he's got his gangster shit too. You know what I'm saying? And I see that. You know what I'm saying? I see how Biggie and Tupac seem like they had to get sacrificed for some reason in this whole situation that happened. It's sad to say, you know what I'm saying? But looking back on it, that's what it is. And then you see, you know, so I guess to bring it full circle, Puff, you know what I'm saying, Biggie goes down. He props up Mace. Mace comes into the forefront. Shit get real, though, you know what I'm saying, especially when Biggie got killed. Mace like, ah, God damn, you know what I'm saying, to the point that Mace had to cleanse himself from Puff. Mace finally popped back up. Shout out to him for giving him a lifeline and getting him back to where he needs to be. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, for years, Mace had to go and just cleanse himself. He had to find God and get on his Christianity and get with his faith to get through the situation because it was just so hectic. Of course, we know Shine. You know what I'm saying? And so that's what I'm getting to with the lawyers. Because Shine is a street dude, you know what I'm saying? Brooklyn dude. He knew what came with hanging with Puff, especially at that time. G-Dep is another one, you know what I'm saying? G-Dep. So Puff just was like aligned himself with dudes that was on some shit, some shooters, you know what I'm saying? Like, shit go down, we do music, but, you know what I'm saying? They know what to do. And Shine was in that situation. And then Shine saw what happens because Puff, all right, the shit went down. You know, you played your part, but, hey, I ain't about to go down with this shit, especially if you was shooting. You know what I mean? Even though Sean was like, God damn, I did it for you. I thought it was some shit popped off. I want to make sure. But Puff was like, you was reckless with the shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? I ain't about to go down with that. You was kind of just a little bit more reckless than I thought you would be. So, of course, you know what I'm saying? Sean does 7 years. Puff, you know, gets off. And Puff is always going to make sure that his money is right. His contracts, any person he's dealing with Puff, contract is on point. Puff is, when it comes to contracts, once again, lawyers, this is this. He's going to run it by his top-notch lawyers to make sure he's got the best contract, to make sure he's getting the most money out of it, make sure he's, like, business-wise, he's one of the best ever. You know what I'm saying? Ever. Do it because his paperwork is on point. So anyway, I say that to say this. So I thought this thing, because I didn't know the way people was talking about it, but it's the internet, so they're always going to gaslight certain things, especially when this Me Too situation. We see how, you know, a lot of the greats went down when all this stuff started coming out. Black greats, Bill Cosby, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that he was a angel and all this, but, you know, there was Cliff Huxtable, you know what I'm saying? But we see what happened, you know what I'm saying? And it came out, you know, and, you know, I love Bill Cosby for what he did for the culture as far as the Cosby Show. But looking back on it, you know, I can see that it seemed like, you know, just my intuition tells me he was kind of doing some shit, you know what I'm saying? Putting a little something in these drinks and doing that. And, you know, he paid his price, you know what I'm saying? I can separate it because I still and not going to discard everything he did with the Cosby Show, but that's what it was. So we saw Bill Cosby go down. R. Kelly's another one. You know, R. Kelly, of course, years and years and years, we've heard different things. He was married to Aaliyah when she was 15. And then, of course, you know, anybody from my age group, they remember the R. Kelly concerts. And 15, 16, that 15 is just like, is this sweet spot? That's his fetish, 15, 16, like, Yeah, we all knew that's the situation was with R. Kelly, you know what I'm saying? And then when the shit came out, 15, she might have been 14 at the time, we all know, and she was pissing on him and all that other shit, and it was on camera, and he got off. You know what I'm saying? But he should have learned his lesson. You know what I'm saying? Because we all knew that was R. Kelly, but he had some top-notch lawyers that paid some people off. Money was long at the time. Got off. You know what I'm saying? But, and of course, he comes with his, like, fucking mask and Pied Piper and all this other shit. And, like, oh, you know what I mean? Step in the name of love. But he kept dibbling and dabbling where he should have learned his lesson because he got off the first time, many times. And he kept to the point that the shit came back. You know what I'm saying? Went down. You know, Harvey Weinstein. It's another guy. I haven't seen Quentin Tarantino. That's my guy. He hasn't been the same since his partner, Harvey Weinstein, went down. That was his partner in film crime. That was like his Dame Dash. You know, if Quentin Tarantino was Jay-Z, Harvey Weinstein was Dame Dash. And, you know, from Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction, Jackie Brown, they had the vibe. You know what I'm saying? His last movie, I forgot, the one with Leonardo DiCaprio. That was his first movie he did without Harvey Weinstein. It was cool, but you can see the difference. So, me too. So we all thought that, oh, and Russell Simmons is another one. He's out of the country right now, chilling somewhere. He don't want to be in the United States because he think that they going to meet to him. So he's going to wait till this shit blow over before you see Russell Simmons back in the country. So we all thought, you know what I'm saying, just the whole lineage of everything I just went down, the Puff, maybe, you know, because we all hear the rumblings with the whole Keefy D. You know what I'm saying? Nobody knew who Keefy D was until the last, what, 6 months ago when that name started ringing. And it comes out that he, you know, basically told himself that he, you know, was there when Tupac was shot and killed or whatever. And, but now it comes out that, you know, Puff, which I, you know, my intuition tells me that, you know, because Tupac was doing the most at the time, I'm totally not surprised if a certain amount was paid to get that situated. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying it for exactly who knows. But the way the shit was going on at the time, you know what I mean? Like, Death Row, Tupac, they was going real hard. And Puff and Big, and they was really trying to have these situations, especially Puff. Puff, like, ain't nobody stopping that. And that's the part that I respect. You know what I mean? You know, it might not agree, but I respect it. You know what I'm saying? That's what he had to do. Bad boy. You know what I mean? So, anyway. So, you would think that the way the internet went crazy and people were talking about it, Cassie might have something that he finally might have got it. But, you know, the next day, Puff meets with his lawyers. The lawyers meet with Cassie's lawyers. They do a settlement. And then the most gangster shit is what Puff said. Puff, let me just see if I can find it. Let's see here. This is the most gangster shit ever. I mean, Puff just took the high road, which is that's the ultimate part of being gangster, man. That's that organized crime type shit. We learned that shit from the Italians, man. You got to just, you know, You gotta just be unsuspected. You know what I'm saying? That's how real true gangster shit roll, man. Organized crime. So Puff says in a statement, we have decided to resolve this matter amicably. Cassie and her family, all the best. Love. You know what his album is called? Love. You know what I'm saying? So he's just taking a high road. I'll pay the money. You know what I'm saying? You and your new white dude and your little baby, y'all have a nice life. You know what I'm saying? So so that's it, man. That's where it comes down. So, you know, so long story short, I know that was a long tangent that I just went on, but that's why I'm calling it, you know, Teflon Don. Will Puff continue to be the Teflon Don? So me and Kev Perk will break it down.
I think he's
going
to get out of it. He is
going to get out of it.
He's going to wiggle out of it. But he just has to move carefully because you know he ready to you know, like, nobody has ever played with Puff and got away with it. And no matter how a person died, you know, they'd be like, everybody associated with Puff is dead other than Al B. Sure and somebody else. I'm like, these people died of, you know what I'm saying, whatever causes they had. Like, you can't pinpoint Puff, you know what I'm saying, to this, you know, to this shit or whatever the case may be. But do you know how many people just waiting on this payday from Puff? You know what I'm saying? This is why you don't play with people like that, because he can really You know, if that was something that he wanted to do, he can allow you to disappear and not even care about it. You know, they can make a settlement and say, okay.
That's not going to happen anytime soon, you know. So I'm not wishing nothing on this, you know what I'm saying? Because, like I said, he took
the I'm not either. I'm just saying, like, you know, people like that of that much power, you know, you thought it was a game to play with somebody.
That's what I'm trying. He's willing to set the situation. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm sure she's watching her back. She probably know, like, fuck, you know what I'm saying? Like, all right, this shit was a little too easy. I don't know what could be around the corner. And if you know mob shit, you know what I'm saying? When you least expect it.
Oh, no, she feel like she done got away with something. She feel like
that's what I'm trying to say. But if you know mob rules, I'm just trying to say is when you least expect it, that's when all of a sudden, you know, you're taking a walk somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Some people that you don't know or you did know, now you're going to walk, you're taking a ride somewhere and you're not coming back. So I'm not saying this is going to happen. I hope it don't. But, you know, you're playing with certain powerful people. You know, things could go less. You know what I'm saying? But I like how he took the high road. He was like, you know what? I thought it was going to be drawn out from the way people was making it seem like, you know, like I see, you know how the Internet. That's why you can't believe nothing on the Internet. You know what I mean? You got to really just do your due diligence and draw your own conclusions. But I thought I already knew because I was talking about it with my wife. And I was just like, damn, so I already know he's going to have some lawyers and all this other stuff. But the part that he did was like, yo, you is not about to stop my, I got too much shit going on. You know what I'm saying? Like, how much, all right, paid it the next day, shut this whole thing up. You know what I'm saying? Like, because he got the whole revolt. You know what I'm saying? Like you just said, I think you made some good points with Carisha. And I think you made some valid points, too, how she probably maybe feels some type of way because now Carisha has that space that she used to, but Carisha definitely has more talent. You know what I'm saying? You just see it. You know, talk show, City Girls, shit popping. You know what I'm saying? Puff just seemed rejuvenated. I've been saying that because I wasn't – when Puff was with Cassie, don't talk to me about Puff. I was like, yeah, he's just on some old shit now. Like, I can care less. Like, I ain't really feeling nothing he's doing. But now it's a resurgence. You get one of the hottest – female rappers in the game that really start bigging you up, and now you back in the space. So now he's like, nah, I'm back where I need to be. So, yeah. So all you know, I'm glad for Puff. You know, I'm glad he was able to put this behind him, and he wasn't able to get me too. So that's that. You know what I'm saying? So that's the like I said, that's the first topic that we're gonna be talking about on Tuesday. Now, second topic, and big shout out to you, Black, because you saw this album coming out like a couple of weeks ago, and you said, oh, man, that new Holly Grove. No, what is it? College Grove, because, you know, it's a mixture of what?
College Grove, yeah.
Yeah, it's a mixture of College Park and Holly Grove. Change the wind.
I'm going to pass the phone to Crash because he can talk more about this hip-hop shit with you, but I still got to listen to it. Now, I don't listen to a lot of music, but I definitely got to listen to 2 Chainz and Lil Wayne. I remember we took a road trip, and this road trip was like, 9 hours all together, like 4 days back.
Oh,
and we listened to Lil Wayne. They did a whole trip. But I ain't never listened to this much.
You knew all his songs after that 9 hours? Yeah, but, you know.
I love me some Wayne. But hold on. Here you go.
Okay.
Hey, what's up, man?
Yo, what's going on, man? You know, welcome to the world famous Chop Up. You know what I'm saying? So, this is a pleasure, man, talking to you. So, we got about 7 minutes left. So, it's 2 albums that I'm gonna be talking about on Tuesday's version of the world famous Chop Up. But you know, of course, I got to bring it here first. So, did you get a chance to listen to, Welcome to College Grove 2?
Yeah, I started it. I gotta finish it though. I gotta finish it, and I'm liking it. Shit.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
it's definitely.
I like especially the track. The one that drew my attention more was the bars. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm listening to that track.
Yeah, they got one called Shame where they redo the Wu-Tang Clan song. Shout out to Old Dirty Bastard. That's a good one. It's produced by Havoc, you know, who was
Gotta get back.
Yeah, that's a nice one. They got another joint called Pressure. Oh man, produced by Bangladesh. Yes, I like it always. And then, oh, you know what was dope to me too that really like stood out that I didn't see coming was how 50 Cent is doing the interludes. You know what I'm saying? I thought that was dope.
I noticed that when you first come on. I was like, is that who I think it is? Yeah.
It sounded like Kanan from Power and shit. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
So that's dope, man. I'm almost prepared to give it about, you know, because I'd be on that Source magazine. You know, I came up on the Source magazine with the, you know, the whole mic review. It's definitely 4.5.
Yeah.
I'm teetering between 4.5 and 5 mics because, you know, I didn't think it was going to come back this strong, man. I was kind of sleeping on it, but this shit is definitely dope. So
I'm biased. I'm just gonna give it 5.
Five mics. Yeah. I'm leaning towards that 5 mics. I think, you know, I think yeah, that's what, you know, on Tuesday I think I'm gonna definitely give it 5 mics because, you know, just from top to bottom, man, the production and you know, Chains and Wayne is back on point, and it's like, and I like the fact that like kind of 2 Chainz like took the lead on this a little bit. You know, Wayne is always doing his thing, but it gives me more of an Atlanta feel than a New Orleans feel. You know what I mean? And
I noticed the cover is more of the 2 Chainz face. Like if you remember the first one, I think the cover was more of Wayne's face. But
no,
it still
I think
had
it's the
2 Chainz, but this time it looked more like 2 Chainz.
Yeah, it could be the opposite, though. I think the first one was more like 2 Chainz, and this one's more like Wayne's face. But, yeah, I think you got it backwards. But, you know what I'm saying? I think it's dope. I think it's just like Wayne just chilling in Atlanta with 2 Chainz, and they just doing their thing. I'm calling this like, you know, because I'll be on my South shit too, man. I know y'all, you know, in Atlanta, man. But, you know, my grandparents is from there. So I'm like, you know, this is kind of reminding me of that old show, man, back in the day, Dukes of Hazzard. You know what I'm saying? They like the black version of Dukes of Hazzard. You know what I'm saying? 2 Chainz and Wayne. You know what I'm saying? Rolling around in the what they call it? The General League. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm feeling it, man. So it was dope. So, look, man, we got about 5 more minutes. So then the last thing that I'm going to be talking about on Tuesday is basically Tuesday's version of the world famous chop up. Is this how I'm calling it, right? 3 Stacks turns the page on Outkast. Now, this isn't no disrespect to Big Boi and Outkast, of course, legendary. You know, they dropped just classics on classics on classics. But for the longest time, you know, we had Big Boi doing his thing. You know, he dropped 3 solo albums of his own. And for the longest time, everybody like, yo, what's up with 3 Stacks? You know what I'm saying? What's up with 3000? You know what I'm saying? Like, did he just lose it? He just don't care no more?
Yeah, we got a feature for every now and then. And I still appreciate those features, but I want some music, man.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? So, and Andre 3000 fashion, you know what I'm saying? I watched his GQ. He had a GQ interview that was on YouTube, man, really good. I think, you know, anybody should check it out, especially if they dig this album. But you know, that's another thing too, man. So for this album is dope because, man, like I said, it's strictly just what do you call it, like a windpipe or something like that, but it's like a flute or windpipe or whatever you want to call it.
The flute.
But
I think it's just instrumentals, right?
Yeah, but you know what's cool about it to me, man? You know, it ain't even really jazz. You know, it's his own kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? But I think for me, it just makes you think more. You know, it makes you just have your, you know, like if you put it on and you just noticing like your surroundings, it's like your senses get heightened by listening to it. You know what I'm saying? What's your thoughts on it?
Okay, I don't know if you heard, but somebody told me or sent me a link. Lupe plans on rapping on every track from that.
Oh, he does plan on rapping on every track.
Yeah, Lupe Fiasco. He said he's going to rap on all of them.
Lupe Fiasco going to rap on all the tracks? Okay.
That's what I'm hearing. I'm going to put more into it. But
I'm sure somebody.
I love me some Lupe.
Okay. I can see that. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to the Great Lakes by way of Chicago, Lupe. I can see that. But, some of my, I like 2 tracks, man. You know what I really like about it? I really like the name that he named the different songs. So I think the first name was like, the first track is called like, I really wanted to do a rap album, but this is where the wind blew me, literally. You know what I'm saying? That kind of set it off. But then this other one, I think it's track number 2, where he's like, pussy, the slang word for pussy, it rolls off the tongue much better than vagina. You know what I'm saying? Do you agree? I just thought that was dope. And then he's got another one. The this is probably my favorite one on the album, where it's like that one time in Hawaii where I had an uncontrollable, what was it like? Fuck, hold on. Let me just go to it real quick. Let me see. But he says, the night in Hawaii when I turned into a panther or some shit and start growling, some shit like that. I'm paraphrasing it. But that shit.
And these are the titles?
These are the different titles of the different songs. So you can kind of like, you know, it just sets the stage for it. But the one I'm talking about, when you talk about the night in Hawaii where I turn into a panther, like, bro, like, if you listen to that, man, that gives me, like, it's like a Native American tribal kind of beat, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? And it's just like, and then you hear, like, the purring of the panther, you know, the flute, and then, like, the different, you know, tribal sounds, man. It just seems like you just need a fire at night. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, it's dope, man. So, then we got another one called...
With the narration for warning, no bars.
Yeah, man. So it's definitely fly, man. Like only Three Stacks could do something like this, man. I just think, man, you know, just him getting back into the creative space, man. It's just good for the culture, bro. Because nobody do it like Three Stacks, man. And then, you know, another one I just want to shout out to, he got one called 93 Till Infinity and Beyonce. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, he just took back that 93 Till Infinity, man, by Souls of Mission. One of my favorite, we talking hip-hop, one of my favorite just kind of like hip-hop songs. It just take me back to like high school and shit like that. But, and then Beyonce, you know what I'm saying? Beyonce, of course. So for him to just mess that up with the title, and then, you know, and then he has the instrumental or, you know, playing the flute and the windpipe or whatever you're playing, man. It shit is just dope, man. So big shout out to you, man, for coming through, man, and talking some music with me. Black said, you know what I'm saying, that you was going to come through, man. So once again, you say Cash, right?
Crash.
crash, man. So, hey, man, Crash, man, peace and love to you, man. You want to come through, man, and chop it up on some music, man, just tell her to slide you the phone, man, and we'll definitely just chop it up. So I do appreciate it, man. Definitely, man, big ups. So this has been another edition of Real Adult Talk with SG and Mo Benz. So big shout out to Black with tonight's topic, you know, can you commit to someone when you're not sexually compatible with? Me and Black definitely agree, but big shout out to her for the topic. Big shout out to me and big shout out to Crash for coming through and chopping it up on these music topics. As always, you know, follow the Twitter page, you know, Real Adult Talk. You know, me and Black, we put that country twang on it, so talk is spelled TAWK. And definitely check out Tuesday's edition of the world famous Chop Up. And you can always check that out by following Mo Benz on Twitter. And if you want to put a face with the voice, Mo Benz on IG, MOBINNS. As always, just keep it respectful. And until next week, everybody be safe. Signing off. Peace.